Well, let's go to the US now, where the bromance appears to be over. A disgusting abomination. That's how tech billionaire Elon Musk has described a sweeping tax and spending bill backed by US President Donald Trump. The legislation, dubbed the Big Beautiful Bill by President Trump and supporters, has passed the House of Representatives but has not yet been approved by the Senate. EJ Dionne is a senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution and a columnist with the Washington Post and a very generous contributor to Radio National Breakfast. EJ, good morning.
Always love to be with you. Thank you so much.
What do you make of these comments from Elon Musk about this bill, which has been a very important bill for Donald Trump?
Right. Well, I think you said it right at the beginning that the bromance is over. And a lot of people for months now have wondered how these two rather enormous egos could coexist in the same space. And there were periods early in the Trump presidency and right before he took office where people were referring to President Musk, which I don't think made President Trump feel very good. In terms of the objective facts of the bill, Musk is essentially right on the numbers that the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget figures that this bill would add $2.5 trillion to the deficit in the U.S. over 10 years, $3.1 trillion if you count the interest costs that would also have to be paid. The people happiest today are Democrats in Congress. Senator Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, said words I don't think he expected to say this year. He said Musk is right. And it's not clear to me that Musk will influence a lot of Republican votes. They're much more scared politically to break with Trump than they are of Elon Musk. But it is not what Trump wants out there on this bill. There are times when Republicans have claimed the bill cuts the deficit, which no matter what your politics are, that just isn't the case. It's fascinating to watch, especially if you're not a Republican.
And this relationship, it was a very interesting and unusual arrangement that Elon Musk came in with this task of making government more efficient and seemed to be personally very close with the president initially. We had reporting from the New York Times some concerning allegations about consumption of drugs and medication by Elon Musk. What do we know about the personal relations between these two men, the president and the billionaire?
Well, I think that the origins, and maybe this was the case all the way through, the origins of the relationship were very transactional. Musk spent hundreds of millions of dollars to help elect Donald Trump. Musk came to dislike President Biden intensely. The Biden administration was looking into a number of Musk enterprises. Some of them get quite a bit of money from the federal government. And Musk was determined to elect Trump and defeat Biden. And Trump very much appreciated Musk's support. He was out there on the campaign trail with Trump. There were Republican gains among younger men in the election who voted very differently from younger women. And, you know, the tech bro aspect of Musk appealed to a certain kind of conservative in the country. And Trump backed him as he was dismantling all of these federal departments, starting with the U.S. Agency for International Development, that essentially ended all sorts of foreign aid to the poorest countries in the world. This kind of break this early was not anticipated, but Musk has hit Trump where it hurts most, because this bill may well be the most important, maybe even the only big legislative achievement of Trump's term. And so for Musk to attack this bill is to attack Trump where it really, really hurts.
We must talk about tariffs, EJ, and it's the eve of new tariffs with an increase on tariffs, a doubling for aluminium and steel. There's been a flurry of activity with the UK, the EU, China and others all trying to reach Donald Trump by phone this week, and there are dozens of negotiations taking place. Is there some method to all this chaos at the moment?
I think if you're not sort of Donald Trump, it's very hard to discern what the method is. If there is a method, I guess the assumption is that if you keep making threats, eventually you'll get trade concessions. But it's not clear exactly what concessions you can give. As your prime minister said, Australia levies no tariffs on American goods. So it's not clear what we would look for from Australia. And what's been striking about this is that they go up and down by the week. The president reacted very badly or angrily when someone pointed out what a Financial Times columnist talked about, that investors are starting to talk about Taco Tuesday, as in Trump always chickens out, meaning that he'll raise tariffs one day, but usually on a Tuesday after the markets fall, he pulls back. So it's not at all clear, I think, even to well-informed people, exactly what Trump's strategy is here. But it is quite clear he does believe in tariffs, and some sort of tariffs are likely to remain. It's just not clear when these deals will be done. Trade deals take a long time to negotiate.
EJ, it's always good to have you on the program, and thanks for your analysis of what's happening at the moment in Washington, D.C.
Always good to be with you. Thank you so much.
That's EJ Dionne there. EJ, of course, is a senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution and a longtime columnist with the Washington Post.
You're listening to ABC Radio National.